And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, a lot of things happening in the world today, and I've never ceased to be amazed at the incredible insanity or stupidity of so many people. And, well, I guess I'm just shocked. You know, this week I was seeing the Senate hearings for Chuck Hagel. Now, Chuck Hagel is a veteran, and he served in uniform. And the man's a Republican, but he's a moderate, so-called, meaning fairly liberal. But Chuck Hagel has been nominated by Barack Obama, President Obama, to be the new Secretary of Defense, to take over from Mr. Panetta. Now, I really wouldn't much care who the Secretary of Defense is, but in this case, I think it's important because Hagel very much is pro-military. That's one thing about him. He's pro-military. The thing about him, too, is he's been endorsed by the American Legion, the Veterans for Foreign Wars, and many other groups. Now, one group, though, that's not supporting him is the Jews. You see, he has given speeches in which he said such things as, you know, I'm an American. I'm not from Israel. Well, you know, that's pretty apparent, isn't it? Here's a guy who's an American. He fought in uniform. He's been endorsed by the American Legion, the VFW, and other military groups. And so he is an American. He's not an Israeli. He was trying to make a point. In 2009, Chuck Hagel said that he gave a speech in which he said during the question-answer session, Chuck Hagel said that he believed that the State Department was almost an adjunct, you know, an add-on of the Israeli government. They had to do, in other words, what the Israeli government told them to do. Well, of course, that's true, but, you know, the Israelis, the Jews, don't want you to know that. They don't want you to tell anybody that. They don't want some senator out of 100 senators, one senator making a speech, noting it. And so they've got all their lackeys and clones out fighting the guy. Well, one of those lackeys, I call him the head of the clown posse, is the new U.S. senator from Texas, Ted Rafael Cruz, a Cuban-American. Now, Ted Cruz was chosen by the people of Texas because they thought he was a Tea Party guy. Now, what they didn't know was that Ted Cruz, this Republican conservative so-called, actually is a member of the Tea Party, all right, but it's the Tea Party run by and owned by the Koch brothers, billionaire Jews from New York. And he's going to do whatever the Jews tell him to do. They've given him the money to be U.S. Senator. And now they support him in office. Now, he's on the Senate Armed Services Committee that directs the activities of our U.S. Armed Forces. So he has a lot of power. And Americans think that Ted Cruz is a great man because he's a conservative that was elected. But really, he's not a conservative at all. He's a fake conservative, like so many are, as you know. And he wants a big budget. His only problem is he wants military spending to be part of that budget, to be the biggest part of the budget. And he's for fighting wars all over the world for Israel. That's why we're fighting any wars right now today against the Muslims. We're fighting wars all over the world for Israel. Well, they're afraid that Chuck Hagel may say no to that in the future. So they're really after the guy. So Ted Cruz, who, you know, why don't he just come with his little boy's pants and t-shirt that says, Mommy, I went to camp this year, or something like that, when he goes before the Senate House Armed Services, the Senate Armed Services Committee, excuse me. But they questioned Chuck Hagel, and they didn't like his answers. They said he was unprepared. He didn't respond well. What they really mean was, excuse me for saying it, he didn't kiss the soles of the feet of the Israeli poobahs. That's the truth of it. They want him to say, oh, yes, we bow down to Israel. I will do whatever Israel tells me to do. I love Israel. I'm a Zionist. Of course, there's an unshakable bond between us and them. Oh, yes. But he says, I'm an American, not an Israeli. And Ted Cruz is inflamed about that. How dare you say such a thing? That you're an American and not an Israeli? That the State Department is almost an adjunct branch of the Israeli government? How dare you? Now, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. You can't say it. Well, Chuck Hagel said it. And Ted Cruz says, I will not vote for this man. He doesn't support Israel. Now, it was strange to me to see Ted Cruz, who was born in Canada, who has never served 1 minute in military uniform, suggesting that Chuck Hagel, who is endorsed by the American Legion and the Veterans for Foreign Wars, and is a military veteran himself, is un-American. But that's the kind of questions that he asked him. When it came Ted Cruz's time, Senator Ted Cruz's time, to question Senator Hagel. I thought, here's a man who's only been in Congress for a couple of months, who after his election immediately flew to Israel. He's not concerned about jobs in Texas, the United States. Senator Ted Cruz wants to know what Netanyahu and all the big boys, the Israeli Jews, want him to do. I'm not kidding you. In the first 30 days after the election, he flew to Israel. Not once, but twice. And the second one was an unscheduled event, his office says. Unscheduled event. Yeah. They had to set up their agenda, you know, for this year. So he had to go. He's going to be the chief opposition. Everybody's going to say, oh, yes, he's a wonderful man. He's for financial clarity. He's for all the conservative things. Baloney. He's a miserable kiss-up to Israel, Senator Ted Cruz. And poor Chuck Hagel, Senator Chuck Hagel, had to sit there and take it. Well, Hey, there's some really good news in America, though. Our economy is improving. Now, here's a strange thing about this. Germany, its gross domestic product, GDP, shrank. I think it was like 2.5% this last quarter. Britain's gross domestic product shrank. France, Italy, Portugal, all these European countries, their gross domestic product shrank. America's went up. Their balance of payments, how much they exported versus how much they brought into their country or imported, went down. There is a great recession, almost a depression, hanging on in Europe. And I might add, even China has terrific problems. But America is doing better, much better than those countries. Anywhere in the world, we're looking pretty good. Is it something that Obama has done? Well, he's been president, but let me tell you what it is. I want to explain to you exactly why America is doing better economically, financially. It's because the United States is on the fast track to energy independence. Did you hear what I just said? After some 50 years of groveling to the Middle East, after groveling to the Saudi Arabians and all the others, we, the United States of America, are now producing more oil than any other nation on earth. This is the first time. That is the exact statement of an article that I just read, dated February 11, 2013, on CNBC, entitled, U.S. is on fast track to energy independence. Now, it says here, quote, U.S. oil and gas production is evolving so rapidly and demand is dropping so quickly that the United States no longer needs to buy oil from any source but Canada. According to Citigroup. Now, isn't that amazing? Think about that. In 2011, the United States was the biggest producer in the whole world of oil and gas. Now, I told you about this 3 years ago. I did a tape called Planet Petroleum. What I said was America has more oil and gas than any place on earth, but the government is not admitting it. You know, big oil men from Exxon and Mobil and Chevron and T. Boone Pickens, a big Oklahoma oil man, would come on and say, we have a real problem with peak oil. We're going down every year from now on. We're going to go down, down, down. It's really bad. We got to buy all this oil, 40% of our oil from the Middle East. It's just the way things are. We just don't have the oil. We're so poor. At that time, I did a investigative report. I went all around the world to find out the truth. What did I discover? I discovered the United States was plush with oil. That in places that they had never seen oil before, North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Texas, Wyoming, they were finding incredible stores of oil. I told you that the Bakken Formation in North and South Dakota and also in Wyoming could be the biggest store of oil ever found in history. Down here south of Texas, what I discovered was there were oil men there saying we have more oil right here in South Texas than has ever been found on the whole planet up to this date. Now think about that. More oil just in South Texas alone than has ever been discovered in all the world up until today, throughout history. They said, we can't believe it. Everywhere we stick, you know, our drill into the ground, up comes oil. Now, they have new methods of getting oil. The chief one is called fracking. Of course, the environmentalists have been out like crazy trying to find something wrong with fracking, but they can't find it. It's a great method. So we're finding all this oil down, and we can bring it out of shale and sand. And they're building pipelines across America. And right now, the railroads are the best stocks you can buy. You say, why is that? Railroads? Yes, railroads. See, we don't have enough pipelines in America. We have more miles of pipelines than any nation on earth. We don't have enough pipelines, though. But we've got railroad tracks strung across America, back and forth, crisscrossing. We're taking oil. Those trains are not taking passengers. They're taking oil back and forth, back and forth. Let me just say this. It sounds funny, but we got oil coming out of our ears. We got so much oil, we cannot use it all. Now, oil costs right now today about $97 a barrel. But over in Europe, they're paying $116, $120. Why do they pay more? Because they can't get it. We have it. And we have so much gas. We have enough gas to last 1,000 years to fuel the whole planet. This is an amazing story, my friends. And American oil and gas people, not the big boys, they didn't want to do it. They've been trying to cover this up for 50 years. Did you know that there have been over 500,000 jobs added in North Dakota alone, 500,000. Now, North Dakota's a small state without too many people. They've tacked on 500,000 jobs. You want a job? Go to North Dakota. Say North Dakota. Yes, North Dakota. Or South Dakota. Or Wyoming. Or Colorado. Or South Texas. Ohio. Pennsylvania. Now, this is a relatively new thing. And it's not the big oil companies that are doing it. It's the smaller ones. The ones that the big oil companies wouldn't even, they're like little peanuts. But these little oil companies and little oil people and small-time investors went out and found the oil and the gas. Now Exxon's getting involved. Boy, they're trying to buy up all these small companies. Maybe they'll buy them and try to shut them all down. That's what they want to do. Chevron, Hess, all the big oil producers want to buy these companies up. Now, the press has not been reporting this to you. I did. At the time, they were, you know, like, we need 30% of our oil, 50%, 40%. I couldn't even get a good figure. We need all this foreign oil. I said, we don't need anything. Now, Obama has tried to stop this. He put out a rule, his environmental and energy departments, that said, no drilling on public lands. Most of this oil is on public lands. So all of the oil that's been found, and America becoming the number one oil producer in the world, oil and gas, is being done on private lands. If he opened up public lands, wow. Oil would probably, you're going to buy gas for $1.50 a gallon if he did that. But they don't want to drop the price. You know, they don't even let our oil companies and gas companies, these small ones, and there's 200 of them. They don't even let them sell oil and gas to other countries. They would really make a fortune if they could liquefy the gas and sell it to Japan, to Indonesia, to the Philippines, to India, and to Europe. Now, at the same time, the Saudi Arabians and all the rich Arab sheikhs have been paying off our politicians to try to close these oil companies down. But they couldn't stop them. They couldn't get the laws passed fast enough. And so they've done it. This is American ingenuity. This is what America does. And let me tell you something, friends. We now have jobs because of these oil companies. This is an amazing story. Sandridge, Cabot. Do you know anything about those names? Probably not. Chesapeake. I'm telling you, these small oil companies, Devon and others, are doing the job for us. We're now selling oil rather than buying it. Now, the Israelis hate us for that. They tried to stop this. Why do the Jews not want us to develop oil? They want us to be involved in the Middle East. They want the whole world to suck up to them in the Middle East. They want us to say, oh, without the Saudi Arabian oil, our gas would cost so much. And it would. It would have, but not anymore. Right now, today, they could close up. If we went into and attacked Iran, God forbid, and Iran was to close up the Persian Gulf to our shipping, we wouldn't need any gas and oil. Now, the rest of the oil, the world would suffer. The rest of the world saying, boy, don't do that. Please, don't attack Iran. They've been telling Israel and America that for years. Don't attack them or we're sunk. But we're not sunk in America. We got all the oil and gas we need. We're beginning to ship it to the other countries. We're a net exporter of oil and gas. If, I want to repeat this, if things blew up in the Middle East, it wouldn't affect the United States of America one bit. Now they're going to tell you, well, the price of oil would double. It would go to 10 or 15. Yes, it will. The price of international oil and gas. The first thing the president would have to do is to say, we cannot export oil and gas. We got to keep our own. Now, as if we didn't have enough, Canada's finding how much they've got in their sands. That's what this Keystone Pipeline coming down the middle of the United States right down into the Gulf of Mexico. It's not for the United States. All that oil and gas from the Canadian oil sands is all going by ship. Will be going. It's not, we don't have the pipeline yet. But if Obama approves it, we will have that pipeline. But it won't be us. Canada selling it to China and to other places. Now, China doesn't like this at all. I mean, China is getting all the oil from Iraq. Iraq. They're buying it for $2. BP oil company owned by Rothschild and the Jews is colluding with a China national oil company and getting the Iraqi oil for $2 a barrel. Then they're turning around the world market selling it for $116. Brent pure crude oil. That's what it's selling for. $116. $2. Remember Cheney said we were going to get all that? We didn't get one bit of it. But China got it all for $2. And of course, BP oil company, Rothschild's company. Yeah, those two new oil pipelines built from Iraq right across Israel and southern Lebanon into the Mediterranean, and the BP ships are going night and day taking the oil over to China where it's refined and then sold to the whole world. This is great news, folks. This means jobs. This means we are not dependent on the Middle East. They don't want you to know that. The Jews want you to still think we're dependent on that oil over there. We're not. Now, what we need to do is pull all our troops home. We don't need to be bombing Gaddafi in Libya. We don't need to be bombing Yemen. I read a story today that said that 92% of the Pakistanis hate America, a survey of the Pakistani people. Pakistan is a huge nation. And did you know that a survey made 10 years ago showed that 58% of the Pakistani people appreciated America? 58%. Now, 92% hate America. Why? Because we're sending those drones over and killing people. We don't even know who we're killing. If we see a group of people all together, we go, well, that must be some kind of terrorist group. And so we go in and bomb them with drones. Turns out to be some wedding party. They're all having a wedding down there and we're bombing, killing them. These terrible accidents happen all the time. We're going to stay there forever, it seems like. We're building the biggest drone base in the world in Saudi Arabia. Why? Why are we building a drone base in Saudi Arabia? It's a disgrace. We need to bring every person, every armed serviceman back to the United States. Now, what would they do in the United States? Well, they'll continue to practice. And then we let a lot of them just go home. But a lot of those servicemen we can put on the border. Yeah, that's right. You can put on the border. We can close down those borders. And haven't they been promising us for years and years that they would have border enforcement? Well, this is the time. We've got troops in 140 nations around the world. If we brought all those troops home, we would be loved. They would appreciate us in those other nations. There used to be an old saying when I was over in the Orient back, in the Vietnam era. The only thing wrong with American troops is they're oversexed and over here. That's what they used to say. We're over there, and that's why they hate us. How would you like it if you had Chinese troops prowling around your hometown? How would you like it if you had Russian troops, British troops, all these foreigners? You wouldn't like it one lick. And Pakistan, they don't even have American troops. They've got American drones patrolling their skies, looking for sometimes innocent people to bomb. And 92% of the people hate us. That's just astonishing. We're causing all of the world's peoples to hate us. They hate us and they hate Israel. Did you know they did a survey in Europe, and they found, they asked the people, what is the number one threat to the whole world, to security of the world? What is the number one threat in the world today? The people of Europe said Israel. Wow. Because America is the big pal to Israel. Whatever Israel says, go attack and kill, we attack and kill. They hate Israel for it, and they hate us. And we need just to put an end to that. Well, I told you recently about this amnesty program. But Obama sent out a message today. If you don't change the border, the immigration laws, if you don't pass the Comprehensive Immigration Reform Act, which is, of course, amnesty, then I'll have to do it myself. Wow. If Congress does not pass a law on immigration, he says he'll do it. That's what I call a dictator, don't you, friends? To threaten, I mean, go ahead and do it, Mr. President. If you don't need Congress, why do you ask then? He wants the backing of the American people, just like Obamacare. He wants the backing of the American people. Well, he got it, Obamacare, through one by one vote in Congress and one Supreme Court vote. That's why we all have Obamacare on our backs. Now he's saying immigration. Come on, pass that bill. Hurry up. If you don't do it, I'll do it. Well, for goodness sake, Mr. President, go ahead and do it. Why don't we just go ahead and see what a big dictator you are? Don't threaten us with being independent. Go ahead and be independent. Friends, they have not been enforcing the borders for the last 4 years anyway. It doesn't matter how many laws or how many rules he passed, how many executive orders he signs. They're already doing these things. You know, he encouraged Congress to pass the DREAM Act, so-called. Congress wouldn't do it, and he went ahead and just declared it anyway. That's what dictators do. Look at NAFTA. Remember NAFTA? Yeah. The Trade Act? They couldn't get that passed as a treaty, so they went ahead and just passed it as a common law. That's not according to the Constitution. That was Mr. Gingrich and all the Republicans, mainly. Well, here's something really hot. For the first time since 1948, propaganda is now legal in the United States. Propaganda is now legal in the United States. Of course, they've been doing it since 1948. But now it's legal, and it's legal for the United States government to propagandize us. We're going to talk more about that on the other side. Hey, folks, you're listening to Power of Prophecy. This is a volume of secrets. I'm Tex Mars. Why don't you stick with us? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Are you involved in a conspiracy? Well, the federal government says you are. That you're a conspirator if you do any one of a number of things. Well, Ms. Napolitano, head of the Homeland Security Department, says that if you love the Constitution, if you're a person who owns guns, if you're a Christian, if you homeschool your kids. All of these could be signs, of course, that, why, you're a domestic terrorist. Well, of course, that's propaganda, isn't it? And I think there are real conspiracies in the world. There have always been. Since the Garden of Eden, that was a conspiracy. Lucifer got Eve on his side, and then she went and got Adam, and the three were involved in a conspiracy against God. Well, what is a conspiracy? It's more than one person, in other words, two people or more, who work together to do something unlawfully. That's all it is. Two people. Well, conspiracies happen every day in every city in the world. And I've written a book called Conspiracy World. And it will tell you about 137 different conspiracies. Conspiracy World. Now, I want you to have your copy of this book. It's a huge encyclopedic type book. Many, many pictures. And you'll find out about conspiracies from one end of this nation or one end of this world to the next. Conspiracy World. That's why I named it that, Conspiracy World. Because we're every moment there's conspiracies going on. They're in our midst. You don't have to be paranoid or, you know, insane. In fact, I think the people that are insane, they're the ones who say, oh, there's no such thing as a conspiracy. In fact, they are ignorant. They really are. Why don't you buy a copy of my book, Conspiracy World? And then when the guy, you know, you invite a guy over to your house, some friend or something, says, I don't believe in conspiracies. Take that big old book and just slam it down on your coffee table and say, well, read this book. I'll give you all the facts, all the data, and you'll be shocked at the number of conspiracies there are that are in the world. I invite you, please, buy this book. Now, it's $25. Just add $5 shipping and handling, $30. I doubt if you can get a book this big, it's about as big as three regular books, for only $25. $30 with postage, so please send $30 to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, you can phone us during the workday here, Monday through Friday. Just call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. You can go online and read all of my articles and see some videos and just have a good time. And you can also buy things there because we offer videos, we offer DVDs. You might want to buy my new video entitled Die, America, Die. It tells you the truth about the oil that we've got. Now, here's how to get this again. Just go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Right there on the home page. Just click on and just follow the instructions and send your money and we'll send out the book to you. Please, I want you to have Conspiracy World by Tex Mars. Now let's return to our regular program. We're talking about some secrets today. Did you know that propaganda is now legal in the United States? Now, why would you think that President Obama would sign H.R. 4310, which authorizes the use of propaganda inside the United States, which had previously been banned since 1948 when the Smith-Mundt Act was passed? Well, here's what they're saying. They say since 1948, we've been putting out propaganda all around the world. Isn't that interesting? They admit since 1948, America has been sending out its propaganda around the world. But now they want to do it inside the United States of America. Now, that's great, isn't it? So we've been bamboozling people around the world, millions, billions of people. But we couldn't do it inside the United States, so now we have to get a law passed. You know, some years ago, I had a nonprofit ministry. Now, nonprofit means it's a 501c3. We're not 501c3 anymore. Because the IRS came up and said, you know, we're going to have to audit you because you might be beaming out propaganda. And that's illegal. I said, I might be what? They said, you might be teaching people propaganda. That's illegal. And I said, would you please define propaganda? They says, well, it's just, there's, they got all confused. The IRS agent said, well, we really don't have a definition. I said, the IRS doesn't even have a definition of propaganda. I said, I do. It would be something that's not true. Well, we have a broader definition than that. I said, well, what is your definition? Well, we don't have it. You don't have it? Well, how can you punish somebody for doing what you don't even have? Well, it got in pretty confusing. But they weren't so sure that we were not preaching propaganda. I said, well, I know what your problem is. You don't like what we are preaching. You just don't like what we're preaching, and you might want to call it propaganda. Well, they didn't have the guts to call anything we did propaganda. And finally, the whole case was dropped. But they did tell me they could come back at any time if they wanted to check on us preaching propaganda. So you know what I did? I just up and dropped my 501c3 status and said, well, we don't even want to be 501c3. I mean, we might preach propaganda. But now the whole government says it's legal in the United States to preach propaganda, and the government's going to start doing it. Well, they are doing it. They are spending billions of dollars a year to preach propaganda throughout the world. Now, what is propaganda? Propaganda is when the U.S. government goes out and sets up hundreds and hundreds of websites, all with fancy schmancy names, and they want you and I to believe that these are legitimate patriot sites. You know, friends, you got to be careful going to the internet today. Some guy cranks up the internet and he writes me a letter and he says, I'm a real patriot. Maybe he is and maybe he's not. And I have seen, though, that many people, you know, they'll start a website and look great for about 6 months and then they're just gone. It's because many times they've been outed as some government agent. Now, the government is paying people to set up websites, paying them every month to run these websites. And they'll suck you in. They'll seem really patriotic. We're against gun control. We're for the Constitution. We're against immigration, illegal immigration. But they're not. Boy, they lead you down the primrose path, don't they? And that's what the government does. This is counterintelligence. They say they can defeat us, the true patriots, by setting up all these propaganda mills. And boy, they got more money than we could ever, we can't even imagine having that much money. Friends, if I had the money that they have, I could put out the truth around the world 10 times over. But we're sitting here struggling, don't have enough money to pay our staff really a decent salary. One and I haven't been taking, anything directly from the ministry. And it's okay, though. I understand. I don't preach propaganda. I preach the truth. The government preaches the propaganda. They've got so many websites that claim that 9/11 was really done by 19 Arabs. They've got websites that claim that John F. Kennedy was really killed by a lone assassin, a nut named Lee Harvey Oswald. We know all that's untrue. I mean, true history is something you've got to go out and search for yourself. They won't tell you about it. And that's what we preach here at Power Prophecy, true history. So, okay, propaganda is now legal in the United States. They've just made it legal. It's really been, you know, it's been all over the world, and it's been here too in the United States. It's going to make things pretty messy, pretty confusing, isn't it? Hey, one of the things that's pretty confusing is this gun control stuff. Now, they've gone just, you know, crazy for gun control in the United States, but they can't get it through their gun control bill. They can't get it through the House. So the Wyoming legislature recently voted, and they voted against protecting school children by armed citizens who've been vetted with a background check. In other words, concealed carry permit. They said, oh, no, we cannot let teachers and other school employees carry guns on campus. Even if we train them, we cannot allow that. Well, somebody wrote me a letter from Wyoming, and they said, you know, Tex, this doesn't sound right. Now, the Wyoming legislature has armed guards all around it every time they meet. Armed guards. They obviously have a carry permit, right? Now, why should they be protected and our school kids not protected? That's a good point. You know, a lot of states have passed laws saying it's against the law to carry a gun inside a church. That invites criminals, doesn't it, to go in the church with a gun and kill people. And who can stop them? They know that the church is a gun-free zone. Well, this man, he wrote to the state legislator, and he said, it's only fair that you must disarm yourself. If you're going to disarm all of our schools, you've got to disarm yourself. If guns in schools are too dangerous, then guns in the state capitol are also too dangerous. Now, I like that reasoning. Don't you, friends? Think about that. If guns are too dangerous for schools, then they're way too dangerous for the state capitol. So he wants to have a vote, and he wants the Wyoming legislature, this friend of the ministry, to pass a bill which says they cannot be protected by armed guards. I think that's perfect. Think about that, friends. Our U.S. Congress, you know, you start a row and immediately they haul you and take you out of the Congress building. That's okay. I understand we got to have law and order. But why should they use guns? If they outlaw guns in our schools, they ought to outlaw guns in our state legislative houses and in the U.S. Capitol. You know, the idiocy of, you know, what's her name? That lesbian freak. You know, the fat. Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell. Thank you. I guess I didn't want to remember her name. Well, Rosie O'Donnell blasted Mel Gibson for being a supporter of arms. Then it comes out that she's got like 3 or 4 armed guards with her at all times. She wants to be protected. But she wanted Mel Gibson not to be protected. What a hypocrite. Now, the people behind all this gun control are all Jews. They run almost all of these organizations that are set up to control our guns. Now, none of them are, you know, they personally are all protected, the rich Jews. But go to Israel and everybody and his brother has a gun there. Guns, 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 guns. They say, well, we need them for protection. Well, we need them in America too for protection. Well, you hadn't got any problem. Oh, no, we sure do. They're hypocrites. Senator Frank Lautenberg, Senator Chuck Schumer, all of these Jews in Congress, they all are protected. They all have guns, or they have guards with guns. Now, Mayor Bloomberg says, why would anybody need a rifle? Why would anybody? Oh, shut up, Bloomberg. He's got so many armed guards, he doesn't know what to do with them all. Mayor Bloomberg. He's already said that school kids can't have Cokes and soft drinks, things like that. They can't have sweets. He's telling us how to eat. Well, anyway, isn't that amazing? But I think fair is fair. If a school can't have guns, then our state capitals can't have guns. Simple as that, folks. By the way, the United States Congress, the Senate and the House, exempted themselves from Obamacare. Now, you peons out there, you Americans, you've all got to have Obamacare. But I'm a senator, I'm a congressman, I don't have to, I got my own health plan. Say what? They've exempted themselves. They don't care what happens to you and I through Obamacare because they're exempt from it. I say they should start with it. I mean, come on, let's get a good public example here. In fact, I think it ought to be experimented with in the House, in the Senate. Let the senators in the House have Obamacare for about 3 to 5 years, and if they like it so much, then we'll take it. Don't you? I think they're perfect people to experiment on. Take their guns away. We don't need guns. Take all their guns away. And then put them all on Obamacare before we get it. This is only common sense. I mean, the best way of leadership is by example. So why don't they show us that they're leaders? Write your senators and congressmen and say, I'll take Obamacare when you do, buddy. Of course, they won't write you back or they'll give you some, you know, believe me, they'll be looking for the escape hatch. Did you know that all life is not equal? All life is not equal. Well, a woman named Mary Elizabeth Williams wrote an article recently, and she said some very interesting things. Now, she wrote on Salon.com, that's a liberal news page online. Now, here was her jaw-dropping article, as one man called it. It was entitled, What If Abortion Ends Life? What if abortion ends life? Now, Miss Williams, Mary Elizabeth Williams, was very honest. She's a pro-abortion. She says she's pro-choice and pro-reproductive rights. And she says in her article that means she's pro-death. Now, she says most abortion people run from that phrase. They don't want to believe that they're pro-death, but they are. She says, I don't have any problem admitting that the fetus inside of me is a fetus. It's alive. But not all life is equal. I'm better than it is. I'm already born. I'm an adult. Why shouldn't I be allowed to kill it? So what if abortion ends life? She says, opponents of abortion eagerly describe themselves as pro-life. We have to scramble around with big ticket words like choice and reproductive freedom. She said she's tired of doing that. She wants to come right out and say, I'm pro-death. Well, I think she's honest. And I'm killing a human being. It's a human life. Here's what she writes. She says, quote, I never wavered for a moment in the belief that I was carrying a human inside of me. I believe that's what a fetus is, a human life. And that does not make me one iota less solidly pro-choice, she exclaims. Well, isn't that great? I'm still pro-choice. I know it's a human life. I'm killing a human being. And I choose to do so. And why shouldn't I have my right to do so? Now, it's, you know, that's refreshing. It's refreshing for an abortionist to say that. What do you think, folks? I think what a clap. I think what a give her some applause here. You know, I have an audio tape we offer in the ministry about abortion being a sacrament. Now, you may think that's strange, but abortion is a sacrament. This particular one lady who wrote this book saying that abortion was a sacrament, she says it's a religious act. Well, she's correct. She says that we need to have a ritual to honor our abortion. Of course. Now, the woman turns out to be a witch. She's a witch. She wants a witchcraft ritual to honor her abortions. And she says all women should have this. Well, I think so. They're taking a human life. When witches and Satan worshipers take a human life in their ritual, they know it's a religious act. Now, this woman, Mary Elizabeth Williams, in Ceylon, she knows she's killing a baby, and she doesn't mind at all. So what if it is really human? I think that's good. We can deal with honest people, friends. We can't deal with liars and prevaricators that say, oh, I'm not really killing a human being. I'm killing a fetus. Yeah, well, it's a life. It is a life. Well, do Jews run Hollywood? Do they run the media? You know they do. Well, now, a Jewish magazine called Moment, on the front cover has this article. It says, Jews run Hollywood. So what? You know, just like this abortion, aren't they becoming more and more? These monsters are becoming more and more open, aren't they? I mean, they just come right out and say, yeah, abortion is murder. Or killing, they say. They don't say murder. So what? Now the Jews say, yeah, we run Hollywood. So what? The top 6 or 7 studios in Hollywood, Universal and Warner Brothers, all of them are all run by Jews. So what? It's not only in Moment magazine that you find such information. It's a Jewish magazine. But it was also in the Times of Israel. The Times of Israel, a newspaper. Then an article in there about a Jewish man, and I was reading it recently. He says, you know, I'm getting tired of denying that we own the media. We own the media. We do. And it's a good thing that we do because we can get our point across. Well, I find that refreshing. A Jew in the Times of Israel says, yeah, we run the media, so what? Big deal. Why should we deny it? It's true. I like that. See, we can deal with that. But when we say that and all these talk show hosts deny it, when all of the big boys on television say, oh no, the Jews don't run the media. No, that's not true. That's sickening. That's disgusting to deny it when everybody knows it. So now they admit it. They control the media. Jews run Hollywood. Well, okay. That's the way it goes. Hey, America has become really a crass, vulgar nation, hasn't it? It is crass. It is vulgar. Let me give you a recent example. Do you know Justin Bieber? B-I-E-B-E-R. He's the hottest thing with your young teenage girls. I mean, they just love this guy in droves. Now, he's a very slight guy, just turned 18. He looks about 15. He was recently on Saturday Night Live, you know, the old program. What was he doing there? Well, he was just clowning, I guess, acting. But let me tell you what he did. Let me tell you what this just turned 18 heartthrob for your teenage child did. I don't know if I should tell you about it, but let me go ahead. The media's love affair with Hillary Clinton has completely gotten unhinged, it says in this article. During a Valentine's Day sketch aired on NBC's Saturday Night Live this weekend, that was early February, pop star Justin Bieber, I hate to say it, if you got any kids, take him out of the room, please. Justin Bieber took a picture of his penis and emailed it to Hillary Clinton, the former Secretary of State. They had a segment on Saturday Night Live which showed Justin Bieber putting a camera down to his crotch level area and sending a picture of his penis to Hillary Clinton. I don't know what to think of this. I don't know what to think about it. Check your email, Hillary, Bieber said and winked. Now, the folks at Saturday Night Live are really with it, aren't they? They've written and they performed a skit in which an 18-year-old boy sends a picture of his penis to a 65-year-old former First Lady, former Secretary of State, and possible future president. People wonder why our society is so mixed up, so crude, so devilish. Now, Justin Bieber probably thinks that was really cool, wasn't it? On international television, on Saturday Night Live, I did a skit in which I sent a picture of my penis to a 65-year-old former First Lady, former Secretary of State. Let me tell you something, my friend. That's disrespect. Now, I've written about Hillary Clinton. I've preached about her. I've told you about her. But this is just too much. I want to say it again. An 18-year-old boy, Justin Bieber, performing a comedy skit in which he sends a picture of his you-know-what to Hillary Clinton, who is now 65 years of age. Now, I'm not going to say any more about that. That's sad. It's not funny. It's not outrageous. It's just plain sad. That's what America has come down to. That's the vulgarity. That's the evil nature of this once great nation. Right on primetime television. Folks, this has been Secrets. I'm Tex Mars reporting. It's been great to be with you today. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.